We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Show. I am Adam Zdrojk, joined by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belongi. Jordan Cooper got the King of the Pitch ticket last week. We're talking Saturday. We're going to get more tickets this week, actually. So we're talking Saturday's four-game slate. There are no Big Six clubs in this one. It'll be different. It'll be fun. I believe you guys talked in the past about this being more fun to play than your usual Manchester City ones. But Jordan, you won on a Manchester City slate this week. So how do we feel about this four gamer now?
I don't enjoy the slate as much as I would have normally enjoyed it. It's an uncomfortable, like, that. There's a lot of different constructions that you could do, and you're not comfortable with any of them. And you could build a lot of lineups for GPP. This is a great slate for GPPs. Like, I don't think there's anyone, like, outside of a couple of people, like, especially the forward range, is like, dude, go out. If you go after the goals, you're gonna win a large field GPP, because, like, the goal scorers versus, like, the high floor players, you'd so much rather have the high floor players in cash. But some of these forwards are just not going to be owned enough. And some of the higher value midfielders may not be owned enough. And then the defender spot isn't all that great either. So you could get away with, like, eight different defenders if you wanted to. And the goalkeepers are not, I mean, these are closer games. So I think you have a lot more options on this slate. And for cash games, though, I think it's going to come down to more with construction than with anything else. And I personally think the construction is clear, but we'll hear from Ryan to see whether or not we agree.
Yeah, well, I like these slates much better than City slates, especially City now. Just to touch on just last week, I got crushed last week. I got that slate way wrong. Happens once in a while with City, where, you know, it's the reason why Jordan used to ask the question every time, like, is this just a slate where how much Man City can you fit? I mean, sometimes they're in such good spots where the guys have such high floors and they're going to create chances all game, and their prices are cheap enough that you just stack them and you just can't fade them, basically, even in cash games. Sometimes I forget that, and sometimes you look for other spots. And no, I don't think I'm being results oriented either. Last week,
Ryan, in cash games, like, I ended up on Foden in my cash lineup.
So that was clearly the right move. And I just mean myself, I wouldn't have been on that. And I should have been, like, I didn't write about it. I didn't really talk about it on the podcast, but yeah, I should have been more about City, I guess. And then, yeah, you know, the first slate, we had Tottenham as the biggest favorite, and it's where Kane and Son are both over 11K. And, you know, I hate those slates, too, because you're sort of just guessing. You can only play one. I don't want to play both and, like, split half my lineups. City as well with Haaland now. Anyways, so, yeah, I like these slates better. Also, I'm playing cash this week, so I'm just going to play cash from now on.
What?
Just so you don't have to say.
What did you just say?
So I don't have to. just so I don't have to preface my comments with, and I don't play cash. So I played all the single entry double ups, you know, up to $25 or whatever. It's not much, like $200 worth of cash. Just to dip my toes in. As far as this slate, yeah, I agree with Jordan. I thought the construction, while there were a lot of options, I thought it ended up being relatively straightforward as well. So I don't know, though.
I think there's one main. All I was going to say is I think that there's going to be one main question in cash games, and we'll get to it.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, so in terms of the odds, we have the implied goal total for this Leicester-Southampton match, about 0.4 more than any other match. Leicester are favored. We're going to talk about James Maddison. We're going to talk about Jamie Vardy a little bit. But you got four home favorites. And the thing is, the second biggest favorite and the third biggest favorite, Everton and Fulham. So that's why this slate is a little different than what we've dealt with. So it should be interesting to talk about for tournaments. But cash games, we have a couple guys. I think forward is the difficult part for cash games. And we can start there. So Ryan, I think based off what Ryan's comments and his articles, I think that he's going with Eze, 7,600 as his forward. You got the set piece taker for Crystal Palace, or the fourth biggest favorite against Aston Villa. Jordan, is Eze your first move in forward, or do you think there's another route there?
It is mine. The only concern I have is what if Elise starts.
That is a concern. Yeah.
That's a concern for me too. Like he is mine as well. I don't know, first guy in or whatever you said, but you know, I don't love it. Like it's more so just because there's no one else. But yeah, if Olise starts and Eze's sets are cut in half, like, yeah, it's almost, there's really no, yeah. I mean, it's almost by default.
I think I'm not glued to Eze just because of the matchup, this Aston Villa matchup. I know Crystal Palace are favored and all that. And then you throw in Elise, the possibilities with that. And then, you know, Elise could come on for however many minutes, 10, 20, 30, that, you know, that cuts in at the end if it's that kind of situation. But there's, you know, three midfielders that kind of stand out, and that's kind of – and maybe the money's not there to spend on Eze. I mean, obviously for cash games, you want the set pieces. But, I mean, I think you can go down and still get guys with floors, with respectable floors. I mean, I'm kind of overlooking, you know, all the expensive guys on the slate are pretty much goal scorers. So, I mean, for cash games, do we want any of these goal scorers, the guys with the high odds of scores, Zaha, Vardy, Tony, Mitrovic, do we want these guys in cash games?
I don't. But you highlighted the main question of the slate for cash games. Do you play Maddison and Ward-Prowse together? Like, to me, if you're playing Eze in your forward slot, you're probably only playing one of Maddison and Ward-Prowse. You can make it happen, even with Eze in there, but you have to concede a defender spot and goalkeeper at the same time in order to do it. So there is a way to do that also. But my main concern, I have no problem with Eze. I mean, This slate isn't all that comfortable to begin with, so I don't mind being uncomfortable at forward. I hate being uncomfortable at midfield spots. I hate being uncomfortable at a high priced defender spot. But like, in comparison to the goal scorers, it's like I'm going to take a guy that could get to 10 points without a goal or an assist much more than guys that require goals and assists in order to get there. So if Olise is not in, I have no problem playing Eze. The problem comes in is that if Elise is starts, that like halves Eze's set piece value, and after that, I feel like going down because we got guys like McNeil here at 7,900, probably takes a couple of corners with the Damari Gray, but I'm not a big fan of him at 7,900 where he's not on Burnley anymore. And McNeil has been subbed off at the 60, 61, 64th minute, like in the past two games. I'm not going to pay 7,900 for two-thirds of a game, even if he's and splitting the set piece. I mean, like, it just it doesn't seem smart. I think the Villa guys overall in the slate are overpriced. I think I don't know why they're like, we got Buendia at 8,000, Coutinho at 7,800, McGinn at 7,700. McGinn at 7,700, I know we'll get to midfield, has a floor if like no one else is in. But if Buendia's in, I don't know about McGinn anymore. So I look at this. Anthony Gordon is playing as a false nine. So his floor goes down there. Then we got like guys like Mbeumo. I don't mind him at 7,300, but I'd rather not spend 7,300 there. So what this leads me is like, if I don't play Eze, like it's Dinky Doo time. Welcome to the Dinky Doo. And then we got Dinky Doo guys. I think in the Dinky Doo range, I think the three guys that you'd be looking at, I like one. I wait underneath that. I would say four. There's four guys. Okay. Four guys that I have to include. Number one, I think the highest floor in the Dinky Doo range is Cordova Reed for Fulham at 5,200. Probably going to play close to 90, if anything. They are favored against Brentford. He's a wing player. It's not sexy, but for 5,200, can he give me 7 points? Like, I think so, right? And then I also look at Aribo at 4,200 if starting. The problem is that Southampton is away as the biggest underdog, even though it's not like they're not a huge dog or anything. So that kind of sours me on, like, he's the floor punt in that range. And then we got the two Crystal Palace guys. You got Ayew at 5,700. And then you got Edouard if starting. The thing with is that if Edouard and Ayew start, most likely you can get Eze without Elise. So it's going to be one of those things where if you're playing one of these guys, it means that you're playing in a lineup with Eze because Elise isn't in. I think 5,700 is a little too high for Ayew, but at least he's more likely to play 90. Edouard is 4,400, has better goal scoring odds than like anyone else on the team. But good luck with him playing 90, because I don't think he does if he starts it. So you got like 60, 65 minutes at 4,400 if you need a punt. I almost feel like I'd rather play. Aribo would be the safer floor option. Edouard has the goal scoring upside in that range. But to me, that's what – to me, unless I'm missing something, is there anyone else that I have not mentioned that you would even consider in cash games?
No. I don't think you're missing anyone. And yeah, like, you know, Ayew, you know, for example, is fine. But, you know, if you're considering Ayew, you might as well just play Reed just because you're De Cordova Reed just because Ayew is a little bit more expensive.
Well, I'm saying if you have to play two of them, let's say.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. That's sure. What I'm saying. If we do the Dinky Doo and you're playing Madison and Ward-Prowse in midfield spots, you're probably not going to be able to get to Eze or without really conceding two other spots.
Yeah. Okay.
So you didn't play the Dinky Doo is two guys, 6K or below.
Yeah, I guess for some reason I get confused, and sometimes I feel like the Dinky Doo is like a mid-range and then a punt. But yeah, it's the double punt. Okay.
That's just the single Doo. That's the Dinky. The Dinky is one.
Right.
The Dinky Doo is two of them.
Okay. Well, I think the Dinky Doo is probably a losing strategy on this slate then. Those guys just aren't good enough, and I don't think the difference of just Ward-Prowse versus whoever else you're going to play at midfield, man, I don't think it's enough for this Dinky Doo. I don't know. I mean, yeah, De Cordova Reed's okay. Joe Aribo, man, I think my week would have turned out a lot better if Aribo started. He was in all my lineups. Of course, he doesn't start, and then he comes on and scores. But anyways, yeah, I think Aribo's fine. Yeah, I don't mind that matchup against Leicester. Like, Leicester give up plenty of chances. But I kind of like Anthony Gordon. He plays 90 out of Everton's front three. And, you know, we remember last season he was splitting sets and even taking some free kicks. So when McNeil and or Gray goes off, you're going to get some sets from Gordon. And playing in that false nine role, I mean, this is the matchup you want him in, the false nine role against at home against Nottingham Forest. I mean, Everton is not a great team by any means, but this will be one of their better chances to score some goals. And I mean, Gordon's their best player. supposedly Chelsea just offered $45 million for him and Everton turned it down, which is interesting. But yeah, so I like Eze or Gordon. I think I would have to go with one of them. I don't want Ward-Prowse enough to go with the Dinky Duke.
Well, I think when we get to midfield, I'm when I said the clear construction, we're both in agreement. I don't think forcing in both Madison and Ward-Prowse is a priority enough, especially because I believe we have I'm more likely to play three midfielders on this. I think there's enough midfield value. Mm-hmm. To me, midfield is the best spot. Is the best value spot on the slate. So I don't want to fill in if I have to sacrifice both of my forward spots in order to fill two of my midfield spots with high priced guys. It's like, well, I'm missing out on the cheaper midfield value. I'd rather just fill a forward spot with someone that could get more than 2 points. I don't want to be stuck with with two defenders that could barely get any points, or a goalkeeper that is more likely to concede in order to just get in. And we'll talk about Madison versus Ward-Prowse, but it'll end up being we're playing Madison over.
Right. Yeah. No. Definitely. I agree.
Yeah. One of my first builds had Madison, Gray, and Ward-Prowse, and just thinking about it, it's just too much to spend right there in the midfield because you're just stuck with these forwards that don't really that you're not really getting, you know, a guarantee from them. So we could go to midfield. We talked extensively here about forward. I guess if you guys want to mention anyone that stands out for tournaments, it's just all, you know, it's just all goal scorers here. So
like, I love midfield this late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that there are some builds here that you could build with like two higher price forwards. Like you're playing Vardy, Mitrovic, like just to continue on forward, just slightly more. Cause we didn't talk about GPPs. I am much more likely to play. I think Vardy will be twice as owned as Mitrovic. And I don't think that should be. I think Mitrovic Vardy should be higher owned. He has better high goal scoring odds. They have a slightly higher team total, but you're not going to see Fulham in favored spots much of the season. Okay. And then when they are favored, Mitrovic could shoot 8 times. I mean, like Mitrovic is a volume guy. So if they're on the front foot, if they're getting 62%+ possession, he could play 90 minutes. And even if he doesn't score a goal, could get 11 points. I mean, so like I look at Mitrovic's ceiling from a goal plus peripherals higher than Vardy's goal plus peripherals. Cause Vardy, if he doesn't score goals, he doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So like, I think Vardy will be much higher on. I obviously Tony will be lower on because he's on the Brentford side of that. But like, I just wanted to mention that out of the forwards for GPPs, some of my GPP lineups, I'm playing 6 of them. I may have some little mini Fulham stacks because I think Fulham is actually underpriced on this slate.
Yeah, Brentford are actually priced like they're the favorite. Like, Mbeumo shouldn't be 2,000 or whatever he is more than De Cordova Reed. There's a basically, maybe not the same players, but I mean, why is De Cordova Reed 2K less than Mbeumo? Like, those prices are incorrect.
Right. But at midfield, the thing about midfield is like, outside of Madison, Ward-Prowse, and then a lot of these players are midfield forward eligible, or they're not going to start. Like to me, it's Madison, Ward-Prowse, McGinn, Buendia. I think if Buendia is in at 8,000 versus John McGinn at 7,700, I think they both become bad. Like now it's just like you don't want to play either. Now they're both overpriced. Even if one of them was in and one of them was out, I think they're overpriced as it is. I don't think they're necessary. And then I look at Damari Gray and go, okay, I don't mind Damari Gray. Like, I don't mind a cash game where I'm playing Madison and Gray in my lineup. But outside of that, like, anyone that's decently priced in midfield, those are the options. And I think builds that don't have any or have one of these guys, like, because there's not many places to go with defender. Playing one of these guys and two cheaper midfielders with a high salary forward. To me, those are the GPP builds. I'm playing Madison plus two, 5K or below midfielders, plus a Vardy, plus a Mitrovic, plus a, you know, something like that. And then, like, pairing a defender, a fullback with one of those forwards, an Anthony Robinson, like that, that type of build, like, that's what I'm looking at for GPPs. But in cash games, like, I think Madison is easily the priority. I have no problem. Just like, I'm gonna plug in Madison. They're the biggest favorite, majority set piece taker, goal scorer, plays 90. Like, it's James Madison. Like, why? Like, just why play the Ward-Prowse side? Yeah, Ward-Prowse has a floor, but like, is it worth playing both of them together? So like, for only a $1,500 difference, I'll play Madison. So like, to me, that's the easy choice. But in GPPs, I think Ward-Prowse. I'm not, Ryan, what do you think? Do you think people are gonna play? Do you think Ward-Prowse goes over-owned or under-owned
in GPPs?
Yeah,
probably under. I don't know. Like, do people play him? I feel like people aren't gonna play him. I don't know what you think.
It's hard to say because people like playing Ward-Prowse. I mean,
like, I know.
I could see people trying to play both of them together. Because we say, like I don't think that's the right construction, even for cash games, but I could see people, or they don't play Madison, but they play Ward-Prowse because there's no one up here. There's no one here to play. So they go, okay, well, I'm going to fade Madison and play Ward-Prowse. Like, they do something like that because there's not much paying. There's not multiple defenders worth paying up for. So it's quite possible. Like, I don't see people necessarily playing McGinn at 7,700. So it's people like, where are they spending their money?
I'm terrible at predicting soccer ownership, but it always surprises me how high McGinn is owned. So I don't know. I kind of feel like.
Yeah, but when McGinn's 5,200, that's a different story.
Yeah, true.
I love 5K. I play 5K McGinn all the time.
Yeah, 5K McGinn for sure. 7,700 is a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe you're right. People like playing Ward-Prowse. 8,700 is not that much. There isn't that much to spend for it forward. I mean, yeah.
Also, there isn't that much to spend for a defender. I could see people going, well, why do I have to pay for any defender position? They play one cheap fullback and a center back. And they're like, well, yeah. Now I can play both Madison and Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If I play Mason Holgate and Patterson or something, like, and then I'm good.
Yeah, and some of the winning lineups, I know the first week and maybe even last week and on one of the Sunday slates have had two center backs, like a 2,500 and 2,900, and they're winning first place. So I don't, you know, people are doing it. People see that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree. Matt, as far as like Madison for cash games, I mean, yeah, you're putting in James Madison and then making a lineup. I mean, if you're playing cash games this week and you don't play Madison or you're not playing Madison, it should be your last week playing soccer. Cash
game. Right? No, you should be in next week. You'd be playing me in head to head.
Right? Okay.
We're playing Ryan in head to head. Ryan will start.
There
playing
you go. I'm a newbie as well, so we can battle it out.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of how it goes. I mean, we could see a 15-point floor for Madison, and that's a floor. So this is before, you know, he possibly gets on the score sheet. Personally, just in terms of this Aston Villa Crystal Palace game, I'm staying away from it in most of my builds. It just seems like, you know, we can see that the implied goal total here is under 2.5, but I mean, it just seems like it's going to be a cagey match. We got Crystal Palace at home. Always seem to be a little more defensive in their home matches. I know Jordan doesn't like to look at recent results, but last season they were cagey matches. That's just how these managers play. Gerrard against Vieira, they're just pretty cagey managers.
If it happened last year twice, it has to happen again.
I mean, it's just the way they play, though. We're not expecting this to be like a 2-2 match, though. I don't think there's going to be a ton of opportunities.
I don't view it that way. I view it from the thing that Aston Villa is overpriced on this slate, so it's less likely I'm playing their players. And Crystal Palace, like, they're kind of over. Like, I think the whole game is kind of overpriced for the total. Mm-hmm. That if you told me these guys were half off, right, that I could put that could
That'd
play
be a different story. Yeah.
Right, McGinn at 4K and Eze at 5K, then I'd be like, well, I don't care if it's a cagey matchup. Look how look how cheap these guys are. So like, to me, it's the price versus that. So it's not, I'm not agreeing with you from the perspective of, oh, it's going to be a 1-0 game and that's why I'm not playing it. It's just that, why am I playing? Aston Villa is the dog, away dog, and these prices, they're like the most expensive team on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just John McGinn at 7,700 is, I mean, it seems like he gets a 10 points every match, but
you need more than 10 for 7,700.
Yeah, right.
What do you think, Ryan, in this mid-range? I read your article, so I know your answer. I agree with you. Matthias Jensen at 5,800. I'm passing on as an away dog, and he tends to come off.
Yeah,
he doesn't play 90, even though he'll have a majority of set pieces when he's on.
I think he'll be over-owned.
I don't think he'll be over-owned, but based obviously off that, I prefer the other side. Pereira at 5,000 to me is a cash play, but I would feel Pereira may not be in any of my GPP lineups.
Yeah. That makes sense. I agree with everything you said. Pereira may not be in any of my GBP lineups. I think he's a cash play, though. You know, majority set piece taker. He's been playing, I think, 90 minutes or close to 90 minutes both times. Yeah, 86 and 89. Jensen, you know, Jensen's one of those tough ones, because if Jensen was a 90-minute player, he would be better than these other guys, or quote-unquote safer. But he's not, and he was getting subbed like this last season at 60 minutes, 70 minutes all the time. So
also, Damsgaard is now on their team, so there's another guy that's going to come off the bench.
Yeah. I can't do that. And I'm not a Damari Gray guy. Like I probably have played him less than most throughout the past two seasons, but. Yeah, you know, he's splitting sets now. This is a great matchup. He's playing longer than Dwight McNeil, 90 minutes the first game, then 81. Goal scoring upside, like a good player, take shots, good matchup, and good price. So I think Gray is my guy here too. Again, like, don't love it, but it's a good price, and he has upside, and he's shown a floor. So I think that's where I'd go.
Right, well, that's why I like midfield. It's like give me Madison, give me Gray, give me Pereira.
I think so. Yeah,
but there are other options for GPPs. Make your lineup with Pereira in it,
and put in Cabano.
There you go. That to me, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. He's Cabano. Like, that's why I like Fulham. To me, are underpriced on this slate, and I'll play a Cabano, Mitrovic, Anthony Robinson lineup.
Yeah, yeah. It makes
like to me that's the play. That's I don't think Cabano is going to be very owned at all, because people will just say, I'll play Pereira instead, or they're filling their forward spot with De Cordova Reed, who I don't think is going to be all that owned either. Maybe I'll end up being 20% owned, but then we got another guy. Like, if I wish I could play four midfielders instead of two forwards, because I think 4,300 for Tielemans is a little too cheap.
Yeah, I know. That's a weird one, Tielemans. I think so too. You know, from what we've seen from Tielemans, and with Leicester being big favorites, I mean, we know he scores goals, and he has a floor in different ways. I mean, obviously he doesn't take sets anymore, but I'm worried about Tielemans. I don't know. Like, you know, there's questions of whether he was even going to start, and then he did start, and then, you know, he started against Arsenal and came off. That's kind of understandable because they were losing. I don't know. I don't know what's going on at Leicester. All their players are leaving. The Tielemans situation is weird. Yeah, he's too cheap, so I think it's a good, like, tournament play if we're talking that.
But Cabano, really, at 5,700. Like, if you're going to play a Leicester – like, let's say you're going to play some type of Leicester stacky type of thing.
Yeah.
To me, do you play Dewsbury Hall? Like, what do you do with Madison in these types of lineups? Like, I almost feel like if you play Dewsbury Hall, you wouldn't play Madison. Like, you'd play a Dewsbury Hall Vardy lineup without Madison. And also, it depends whether or not Barnes is in the lineup. So, like, if people are trying to build these Leicester lineups, like, if Barnes is in, they're going to play a 4-3-3. So let's can we just go over Leicester, because it'll affect the defenders also.
Yeah, let's go over Leicester.
Because if they play a 4-3-3, that you have to downgrade Justin Castagna at the defender position also. They're a little bit cheaper than they normally would be anyway, so I don't mind them at the defender spots. But I think this lineup, this it depends on what they do with it, whether or not Barnes is in, on if this is going to be a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. Because to me, that I think that matters a lot. On a 4-3-3, Tielemans and Dewsbury Hall, I prefer, because yeah, they're not going to just be two holding midfielders. And then especially if Justin and Castagna are playing in a four-man back line, like, that just allows them much more freedom to get forward. And then the opposite is true, that if they're playing with three central defenders, then I prefer the wing-back types than the central midfield.
Yeah, I want to say, even if Barnes doesn't start, apparently Wesley Fofana is taking himself out of the squad. So that's, you know, their top.
Yeah, he's another
back
guy that's leaving. Yeah.
Why are they all leaving? What's going on?
He's going to Chelsea, basically. And he doesn't want to get hurt, or they're working on a deal, that kind of a thing. So, I mean, we could see like a Soyuncu back there, but I think he's pretty much been moved out of the squad. So I think it's pretty likely we'll get four in the back. So I think we're at like, I don't know, 80% chance that happens. So I think we can go forward assuming that, but, you know, just an assumption. So
I agree. Yeah. And it seems like Barnes is.
Yeah,
you know,
even if Barnes doesn't start, like, we've seen Vardy and Daka start together. I mean, Vardy and Iheanacho start together, so that's an option.
Yeah, but
well,
I'm saying, but with Daka and Iheanacho, they're gonna play with Madison in the 10 role.
Like that. Yeah, that would be like a 4-3-1-2 kind of a thing.
Right, but I'm saying when Madison's in the 10 role, that means Dewsbury Hall and Tielemans will be behind him. As opposed to when Madison's playing on a wing role in a three-man front line, it allows Tielemans and Dewsbury Hall to get more forward in centrally because there's no one in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Ndidi?
Well, Ndidi's the holding midfielder. Who cares about Ndidi?
Right, but then, I mean, if Madison's the 10, sorry.
Then it's a diamond.
If they play two forwards.
All three of them are behind him. Obviously, right. Ndidi's the first.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Liverpool situation. When you were talking 4-3-3s, even when it's a 4-3-3 of Dewsbury Hall, I still don't like him that much in a 4-3-3.
No, but I'm just saying it's a little bit of an upgrade. I'm saying if you're looking to get off of Madison, I'd rather, like, when Madison's in the 10 – like, Madison's valuable regardless of where he plays, but it's just like, what's the value of, if I fade Madison, who do I prefer? Like, if I fade Madison, I'm much, and let's say Iheanacho and Vardy are together, maybe I just play Iheanacho and Vardy together and just, like, do that instead of playing Dewsbury Hall or Tielemans at all. And then if it's a 4-3-3, then if I fade Madison, I could play Barnes, I could play Dewsbury Hall, I could play, there's a lot more, in a 4-3-3, there's a lot more options, the midfield options. The chances of them getting forward centrally exist more. I mean, maybe I'm overthinking. Maybe it's not as drastic as I'm making it out to be. I'm just saying that Leicester's the biggest favorite technically on this slate, and Madison's going to be super owned, and Vardy's probably going to be the highest owned forward. So it's like, look what I did at Man City last week. It's like, okay, Mahrez is going to be owned. De Bruyne's going to be owned. Haaland's going to be owned. Cancelo's going to be owned. It's like, okay, well, I'll play Cancelo, but then I'll play Foden and Gundogan. And like, so Leicester, it's like, let's say they win 3-1 or something like that. So it's like, well, okay, what happens if Vardy doesn't score and Madison doesn't score? Who scored? Barnes, Dewsbury, like, do something like that. So I'm trying to figure out what the best combination of that is. Or you play Madison in those lineups regardless.
Right. Okay. So I'll just give you my answer. I'm going to play Madison regardless. And it's for a few reasons. Going back to forward, you know, you were talking about Vardy, Tony, Mitrovic. So like, I don't really play Vardy much of ever in these spots. If there's a guy that's cost me more money, I don't know if that's the right word, because there's been plenty of times where fading him's worked, but anytime where Vardy scores a brace or a hat trick, like, I'm losing pretty much, because he's always overowned and you know, too expensive and no floor and gets subbed. So I just pretty much don't play Vardy in these spots, and I'm not really going to here. And then Dewsbury
Hall. He's my Kane, right? Like, Kane is that for me.
Yeah, he's one of those guys for me, for sure. And then, like, Dewsbury Hall. You know, unless he's in the front three, like, that one match, or, like, you know, more attacking. Yeah, like, I understand that Leicester are the biggest favorite on the slate, but this is not City. This is Leicester Southampton, which is, like, could be a pick'em game, you know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So, and like Dewsbury Hall, 5,700 is kind of a lot. Like, I'd be cool with playing him.
I kind of like Tielemans.
Yeah, like
at the price, in the 4K range.
But I'd rather try to get more of a goal score than play Dewsbury Hall, who I like, but who also might be somewhat owned because Leicester are the biggest favorite. Now, if I was playing Vardy, maybe I'd pair the two together and fade Madison. But yeah, for me, I play a lot of Madison in these spots, and like, it's hard not to when he's been scoring so many goals recently. He's been putting up huge scores consistently for a while now. So yeah, I don't know. Like,
I mean, what's wrong with going like in the same match, just like Gineppo at 4,600 compared to Dewsbury Hall?
Well, I would probably be playing as a wing back. I'm not a big fan.
I mean, that's still like an outside midfielder that gets forward plenty.
I guess
that's
okay. So.
I think you should just, to be honest, I think you should just go Joe Aribo if you want to run it back. I mean, more of a chance at a goal. I don't mind the Gineppo call, though. You know, Gineppo, just in general, you know, we see, I don't know, he's had over nine floor points in both games.
Like, no, he assisted that first game.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Well, he's a pretty decent, he just never plays 90 minutes, but he's been sort of unlucky not to get a few more goals and assists like
so,
the last couple seasons.
I just want to say he went 72 minutes in the opener. Romain Perraud played in that match, came off the bench for him because Romain Perraud is like the left back, left wing back. Perraud missed the last match. Gineppo went 89 minutes. Perraud is still out. So I just want to say it's, you know, it's still possible that Gineppo gets close to 90.
Can I make the anti-Gineppo case?
Yeah, I'm not going to play him. I was just going to finish.
Yeah,
with,
I mean, his name is Musa Gineppo, and play him. That's
no. I'm talking about from a DFS perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's playing as a wing back, right? They also have another wing back called Kyle Walker-Peters on their team. Okay. Kyle Walker-Peters is defender eligible while Gineppo is midfield eligible. We've already said that we like the midfield spots on this slate more than any other slots. So, like, defender, I'm not all that enthralled with many, many people. If I'm going to play a guy in that range, 4,600 to 5,100, why don't I just fill my defender spot with a $5,100 player, then take up one of my three potential midfield spots with a $4,600 player who's essentially playing the same role? Like, what's the difference between Gineppo and Kyle Walker-Peters in their formation? Like,
yeah,
well, the difference is that
they're the biggest underdog, and Walker-Peters is going to play 90 regardless.
Gineppo is going to be 20% less owned, and no one's going to have him.
No, Walker-Peters ain't going to be owned. Get the hell out of here.
I was actually going to say the only reason, like, basically the only reason it would be, because of ownership. No one's going to play Gineppo. If he scores, sure, but, like, you don't want to go for that. He doesn't score.
I could, the only affordable Aston Villa players down here, Jacob Ramsey.
When you say he doesn't score, that means he's going to score. You know this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him get in good positions, but yeah, and he's not scoring from wing back now.
But Ramsey, Ramsey at 4,200, is that viable?
Sure, but I'm with Adam on this one. Where that game is definitely the least appealing. I don't know. That one sticks out in my mind, Adam, when you were talking about that game being cagey. I specifically remember one of those matchups was an island game with a big showdown contest. And I was like, it was painful to watch. It was painful to watch at times. And I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but it's the same managers and basically the same teams. There's a reason that game has the lowest total. I don't mind playing some guys in that game. Zaha can easily score a brace in that matchup. And, you know, he's going to be less owned than those other forwards.
I mean, just in that range, like Tielemans at least takes shots from 30 yards out. It seems like Ramsey's goals are, you know, he's getting through off a rebound or something, and he's always scoring right in front of net. You know, Tielemann just in the higher scoring match. So it just seems like why go Ramsey
right.
and get Tielemann?
Yeah, no, you definitely. Tielemann has all different types of goals in him. Absolutely.
Are we going further down?
I got one more.
It's not Lavia, is it?
No.
Don't say Harrison Reed.
No.
Okay.
If you need a pure punt, which I don't think you need on this slate, and it's only obviously if he's not even in the projected 11. Lewis O'Brien at 3,100.
Yeah.
Why? Why Lewis O'Brien and not Romeo Lavia? Lavia's gone 90 back-to-back matches. O'Brien probably won't go 90 because Nottingham Forest signed like 5 central midfielders in the past week.
That O'Brien has more upside if you're
right.
trying
that,
to
that's, that, that's I mean Lavia is playing I mean That'd he's playing as a defensive midfielder.
Like, you know, Everton, we've talked about this being a good spot for Everton, but targeting teams against Everton was pretty successful last season. They're a good matchup for teams as well, oftentimes.
All right. I mean, Lewis O'Brien's still pretty defensive, but we don't have to talk about these
right.
three.
I'm just throwing it out. I don't think you need someone that cheap, but
right.
I'm
just, no.
Whatever.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, so defender here, we got the question of Luka Dina at 6,800. I thought I was going to be alone in saying I don't like him in this spot, but I read Ryan's article and I'm seeing Jordan's reaction. It doesn't seem like anyone likes Luka Dina here. 6,800, maybe won't have set pieces at Crystal Palace as an underdog. Not a cash play. Is that where we're coming to?
I don't think he's necessary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can use him. I think in GPPs he will be over-owned at 6,800 for the game log people that don't realize that, especially if Wendy is in also, like it's quite possible that Dina has completely lost all set pieces. Like, so do the pro and con assessment of this. Let's say we're not sure, but to say that we're confident is anything. We're going by very small sample sizes. If Dina still has set pieces, he still only has them on one side, right? Because McGinn or Buendia or both are in. So he's only going to have them on one side at most, okay? He's in an underdog position away, which means he's not going to be as forward crossing the ball in an open play. He's priced as if that's like his best case scenario. He's like efficiently priced. Like he's everything has to go perfectly for him to be 6,800. It's possible that he has no set pieces anymore. And at that point, he's essentially a $5,200 defender. Like he just becomes like, okay. He's like, he could be anyone on this slate. He becomes like one of the Leicester wingbacks. He becomes just like, like a Kyle Walker Peters. He becomes one of those. Types like,
he becomes Anthony Robinson.
Right, right. Exactly. Someone like well, that.
The best case scenario is basically week one, where Aston Villa went down early to Bournemouth and they kind of pressed the rest of the way. And Dina had, he actually took set pieces. He had four corners and had a floor of 10 points. That's the best case scenario, I feel like. And it's a more difficult matchup against Crystal Palace. So.
Right. To me, Dean, I don't see a need for it. I don't see a need for Villa at all. Of course, that means they're going to score four goals when I say that. The only defender I prioritize on this slate is Nico Williams at 5,700. Get him before he loses set pieces, because this is probably the last game that he has set pieces, because they signed Gibbs White. So I'm going to assume that Gibbs White's going to start.
Maybe.
But I mean... I mean, Nottingham Forest are not a very good team, but Nico Williams, they play in a 3-4-3.
Well, they have 20 new signings, so.
Well, yeah, of course. But I'm saying as of now, like yeah. On this slate, to me, Nico Williams, I plug in. The thing is, the second defender spot could be God knows how many other people.
Yeah, you can go a lot of places. And
you could go to a center back. You could go, if you wanted to on this slate, if you play Nico Williams, this is for like cash and even for GPP, I guess, but I would more likely to correlate for GPP. Nico Williams at one defender spot, and then wait until all the lineups are confirmed and then scroll all the way down, and whatever the lowest green check mark is, you're probably not nuts for doing that. Like it's a type of slate where I'm not sure that from a floor perspective, so we're not talking about goals and assists, I'm not sure that there are many defenders that are going to score double digits.
Yeah, Jordan. Yeah, I agree. So Nico Williams for sure. And then, yeah, I'm off Dina for all the same reasons. Nico Williams was great against West Ham on Sunday. I wrote in my article, he was everywhere. He was everywhere, both sides of the field, taking shots, taking corners from both sides. Jordan, what I was going to say, I'm thinking about rostering a $2,500 defender in cash. Is that a mistake, you think?
No, I said it's not nuts.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's nuts at all. Can I guess who it is?
Well, I didn't necessarily mean $2,500, but yeah, you can guess, because I do like, yeah, guess who it is.
Okay, let me see the pricing. I'm going to guess Mason Holgate.
I think he was 3K, right?
Yeah, he's 3K.
He's 3K, but that's who it would have been. There wasn't really. I just put like, I think there might only.
Well, yeah, be you one go to start. The Everton. You go to Everton because you're getting
the highest clean sheet odds, yeah. Right? And it's like, why not play Holgate?
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. Without
saying, is that the guy? Did I guess it right?
No, but he's 3K, so I needed a 2,500 guy. Like,
oh, I'm sorry for spending 500 more on this.
Right, no, but I mean, without giving my lineup away, I mean, which it basically will, we talked about midfield, Madison, Gray, Pereira. Okay, I have that. I have Nico Williams at defender, okay?
Well, it's a Marty.
No, it's not, but it could be. I didn't even see that he might be starting. But
okay. Well, I have
Eze and Gordon. I don't even need the dinky do. Eze, Gordon, Madison, Gray, Pereira, Nico Williams. There's six of my cash.
Oh, I think I know.
I mean, there's six of
Mark Gahey
with the keeper in the game with the lowest total. I mean, there you go.
Oh, did you listen to the pronunciation for the Crystal Palace?
I mean, I actually did watch that
that's
video.
How you, but, that's how we're saying
I knew
it's
it was
right.
Gahey already. Oh,
okay,
but,
okay.
Yeah, that was one of the names that I had done actually a little research on that name last year. So
yeah, I've been saying Gahey, but it's Gahey. Mm-hmm. So Jordan, now you know.
But I think if you don't go all the way down, I don't see a reason like that, like. I go like Justin 4,200, Patterson 4,400, Robinson 4,500. I don't see any reason why those three guys are any better, any worse than the guys that are more expensive than Rico Henry, like Michael Lenko at 5,400, Matty Cash 5,300, Rico Henry 5,200, Kenny Tett 5,000, Castagna at 4,900. Like, I don't see, like, these, you're paying an extra 500 for what? I mean, it just, it feels
it's not
like,
worth it. Even if they were, even if they were all the same price, I mean, even if they were all the same price for DFS, Anthony Robinson's better than all those other guys. And
right.
I know, you know, Fulham were in the championship, but they were in the Premier League before that. And he'll be good at, for DFS in the Premier League this year. So yeah, I agree. Patterson, he's in a good spot as a wing back against Forrest, and then Justin too. These Leicester guys, Castagna specifically, I mean, no floor with Castagna, none, even when he's a wing back. Justin, a little better, and Justin's cheaper, and obviously their favorite. So yeah, it's those three guys. Like, I don't want a punt defender. I hate paying 2,500. I will try to get to, you know, that range, that Robinson, Justin range in tournaments, but I will, you know, play some $2,500 center backs because you're not losing too much on this slate.
Right. And if I play the $2,500 center backs in GPPs, I'm more likely to easily just pair them with the goalkeeper.
Right. Definitely.
Like,
definitely.
Because to get the ceiling, like get the extra 3 points. That's why, like, I could see myself building a lineup with like Holgate Pickford.
Absolutely.
Holgate Pickford Patterson as an Everton defensive stack. And then building, you know, and in my Fulham lineups, having, you know, Robinson and Rodak together.
Right.
Even though, for instance, like, one of the things we've seen, like, Saramek do, the correlation of, like, someone like Robinson is actually more beneficial in games where Fulham goes down.
Yeah.
So, correlating those types of play, like, I've been looking at the attacking fullbacks, maybe not correlating with a goalkeeper, but the like more of defensive minded fullbacks, or when you play like Nathan Ake and you're playing Ederson together, like that, those are the ones where the clean sheet matters a lot more. So like maybe I could play Robinson, Mitrovic, Pereira, Cabano type of lineup. But in those lineups, I'm playing some type of like Brentford player in it rather than the goalkeeper.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I remember Saramek and you talking about it on that podcast. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for some reason you're on Rico Henry. Aaron Hickey plays on the other side and he's 1,200 cheaper.
I thought Hickey, I don't know, I could be wrong with this, but I thought he was playing in the back three.
I mean, it depends what they play.
He was playing in the back three in one or two of those first two games.
Yeah, it depends what
depends they, how they line up.
He actually played they played five in the back. They played 5-3-2 against Manchester United, and he was actually right back. Mads Rierslev was the center back. So he was right back in both those matches.
Yeah, because that's where I thought he was going to be. It was weird to see him in the back right center back in the first game. But yeah, like, you know, they signed him as a fullback.
They played a 4-3-3 in the first game. That's why we went back here.
I guess I got confused about something then. Okay.
Yeah, so they went 4-3-3, 5-3-2, and then I'm projecting a 4-3-3 again because I assume they went to the 5-3-2 because of the matchup against Manchester United. I mean, it could be the same thing. We'll see what happens. But so far it seems like he's playing as a fullback slash wingback slash whatever. So.
At goalkeeper, I like that what you pointed out in Ryan in the article, that the highest price keeper isn't the one with the highest clean sheet odds.
Yeah,
that it's one of these slates where Danny Ward has the highest win odds, but the win odds difference on the RotoWire cheat sheet, you should be getting that RotoWire.com/soccer trial. Leicester has a 51.8% win chance. Everton has a 48.77. Like, it's not that dramatically different, but Everton 36% clean sheet odds versus 29. So based on that, I'd rather pay $100 less for Pickford.
Yeah, it's pretty different, right? It's pretty different when, you know, Leicester, who have the most expensive keeper, have 29% clean sheet odds. And then you go all the way down and I don't know, the second biggest underdog has 20-some percent clean sheet odds. Like, everybody's in the 20s except for Norwich and Everton. I mean, Nottingham and
– Norwich, we're playing championship. No, all
right. Southampton, right.
Sorry, Southampton.
Right.
Sorry, I wasn't looking.
Right. So to me, it's in cash, just play Pickford. And then if you're not playing Pickford, like, close your eyes and just whatever. Like that, like truthfully, if you're not playing Pickford, you're probably just going all the way down. Just like go, and maybe you don't play Bazunu. Maybe, I mean, you can just go and play Henderson.
Bazunu.
Like the differences between Rodak and Henderson are not dramatic enough that there should be a $600 difference. It's like they all should be within $200 or $300 of each other.
Right. Yeah. So does that mean the play in tournaments? Sorry, the play in tournaments is Danny Ward?
No, because he'll be on because people will say, why not? I pay up for the biggest favorite.
Is that how it works? People just say, why not?
He's the most expensive. That's kind of how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
is
kind of. All right, I take it back. Don't use Danny Ward. Do not.
No, I mean, you can use Danny Ward, but I mean, he'll be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you like, I'd rather have, you know, Crystal Palace. I even like Fulham to have a clean sheet more than I do like Leicester. And I mean, it kind of shows it in the odds almost. So it's like, why are we paying up for Leicester so much here? So
yeah, but I don't mind. Like to me, truthfully, I'm more likely in GPP to play one of the keepers in the Crystal Palace Villa game, only because I'm more likely to not play any of those players, the outfield players anyway.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be a cagey match. So
no, well, like I said, is that they're overpriced, so I'm probably not going to be playing them in a cagey match.
Yeah,
yeah, it's It's a fun slate for you. Got a lot of ways to go for cash games. There's, you know, you got a few guys. You got your Madisons. You got your Grays. We'll see what Ward-Prowse. We'll see how popular he is. We'll see what Ford it looks like. We'll see how popular Dina is. I don't know. Does anything stand out here? Do we want to? Jordan already gave his strategy of Fulham. I have a Fulham lineup myself, so I can't give another Fulham recommendation out. But, Ryan, is there a game that you like more than the others out of these four, or does anything stand out to you?
Well, yeah, I do like Fulham, but I'm not just I won't just say Fulham just because Jordan did. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like – I don't – Everton, they seem all right. I mean, I'm looking to play Gordon and Gray.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Patterson.
We're big Gordon guys on this show, so.
I think something that people may not do is when we said that Everton has better clean sheet odds than Leicester because they're leaky. So I think people will play Ward-Prowse. I think people will play, if he starts, Joe Aribo. Why don't you play Madison, some type of Madison plus like a second Leicester player? We didn't mention him if he starts. I mean, like Che Adams and that, like, if we think that Leicester gives up a goal, find the goal. Like, where is that goal coming from? And you'd rather get it in a lower owned spot. So
we talked about this. Moussa Dzeko, right?
No, Moussa Dzeko. Stuart Armstrong or Che Adams. Like, get away from Ward-Prowse. Or you could play those together, just that I think playing Madison Ward-Prowse is just – Madison Aribo, you're running into very similar lineup constructions. I don't think you're going to see anyone enough playing, like, Stuart Armstrong or Che Adams, you know, or depending – Kyle Walker-Peters, you pair them together. Kyle Walker-Peters plus Che Adams plus Madison.
You know, that's a good point, Jordan. You just reminded me of – like on these slates where we have these midfielders and where midfielders are where midfield is the strongest position. These are the slates where the type of slate where I played like El Yunusi or Fornals and they never own because they're on Ward. They're with Ward-Prowse, Madison, Mount, Ziyech. I mean, all these guys. So when you get the goal from like a Stuart Armstrong or like whoever, Niskins, Cabano, I mean, it does so much more damage when you have the high ownership on all these other midfielders. So yeah, that's the construction to look for.
Because I see that people will play Madison, but like, if you want Madison's ceiling, you want a game that's like 3-2, right? So it's like, if that's the case, then, well, why aren't you taking Southampton in those lineups? And I think Ward-Prowse and Joe Aribo, if starting, will be the two guys that people do take.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I want to play Madison Aribo, and I understand that other people do too, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
But pair, then get another second Southampton. Do Aribo Armstrong, Aribo Adams, do something right. Like that. Or add the second not do Madison, not Vardy. Do Madison Barnes. Do Matt like just get away from like just Madison Aribo.
Yeah, definitely. I think those are great points. I need to do some of that myself.
And you know who is it going to be? You know who's going to put up the 26 pointer? Musa Gineppo.
Yeah, with Dewsbury Hall on the other side.
Well, it worked for Johnny last week for Adam, so maybe Musa does it for him this week.
It worked. We knew that was going to happen. Come on. I want to read up some goal odds for you guys here. We have Jacob Ramsey plus 550, Nathan Patterson plus 600, Dewsbury Hall plus 900. What are our thoughts here based off our conversations earlier?
They're still high odds. Who cares?
Well, you're talking about Dewsbury Hall at 5,700.
I'm talking about, understand, I'm not talking about Dewsbury Hall to score a goal. I'm talking about
what's the point of using
off of Madison. It if makes Madison me kind does of like, poorly, who does well?
It makes me kind of like Nathan Patterson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is Nathan Patterson going to be popular because his goal odds are at plus 600?
I mean, I like Nathan Patterson. I don't know. Do a lot of people look at that? While we're on the topic of goal odds, and just, you know, real quickly, I know we're going a little long here maybe, but I touched on this in the article just a little. How does Edouard have better goal scoring odds than Zaha? Somebody tell me. Am I wrong? Because people make these odds and people wager money on them and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't bet soccer. I don't make soccer odds, but I mean, Zaha takes penalties.
You should start.
He's 90 minutes. He's better than Edouard. He scores way different kind of goals. I mean, I don't know. Like, Edouard's center forward, but they're going to get the same amount of chances.
Yeah, these are, again, this is a DraftKings show, but these are FanDuel odds. We have not changed them on the cheat sheet yet. DraftKings odds, Zaha plus 160 to score, Edouard plus 210.
I mean, you got a guy who plays 60 minutes and a guy who plays 90 and has penalties and scores like long range goals and scores goals where he beats three people. I mean, I'm just goals.
Why are you playing Zaha on this slate? You're making
Why are you betting?
Zaha's going to be the low owned forward.
Play Zaha, definitely. I'll play
Zaha. Why are you betting Zaha to score at plus 230?
I'm playing Zaha and Mitrovic from the top range.
I mean, these plus 230 odds are pretty good, actually, now that you got me thinking about it. But
no, I don't know. As far as the game goes, I could see that game finishing 0-0. I don't really think Zaha's going to score. I just mean in general.
Right. Yeah.
I just can't see how Edouard's more likely to score.
Yeah. I had one quick question for you guys before we leave. In terms of the back heel, the main GPB, the $20 entry or whatever it is, how many entries? I don't know if this is too much information to ask, but how many entries do you guys usually put into it?
I got six.
Well, this structure is
horrible.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Does it depend on a week-to-week basis in terms of the payout kind of a thing?
It depends. Well, sorry, I haven't even looked yet. I'm bringing it up.
I don't mass anything in soccer, so I only play. Typically, I'll play. It's anywhere from just a cash lineup, and that's all I'm playing, to somewhere between four and eight lineups. And typically, I throw them all into the large field, and then maybe one or two are the smaller field stuff that I build for. Like, I'm not playing that many lineups. The prize structures do not connotate mass entering. And with an hour before lock, I like focusing on nice, you know, here's six lineups. And
okay, so I'll get... I'll give like my take. $20 is a little bit more than it is usually, but I'm still gonna play 20 lineups. But as far as like the structure goes, we see 20K to first, then 6K, 3K. I mean, this is an especially bad structure. The first slate of the season had 20K to first, and it was and almost double the purse. It was like 100K. This has the same. So, anyways, though. This is only because it's fewer people. It's 105 max instead of 141. So that's okay. There's like 10 people who max enter. And then the other thing is, because this is a tournament where like with only 60K in the prize pool, it shouldn't be 20K to first. Like you should never be able to win 20K from this prize pool. So what it means is there's less people between like me and 20K than there should be. So there's a better chance to win. Like I started to realize this on those, they always have these slates with a 3K prize pool and 1K to first. I would be like, man, this is the worst structure ever. I mean, you know, it's like 1K to first and then 300, 100, and then nothing. But that's the fewest amount of people that's ever going to be between you and 1K. If you want like a good structure with the 10K prize pool and 1K to first, I mean, we're playing GPPs for first. So I can at least make an argument that it's like an easier way to 20K when there's less people. You can put less lineups in, I mean. You know what I'm saying, Jordan? Like,
no, I agree with you. It's just that the swings of your bankroll, the variance is going to be way higher.
Way higher, yeah.
And I prioritize that a lot more. So with 20K to first and $150 to seventh, that is just absolutely, that's the, here's your steak knives. Like,
right.
I don't, why would I ever play a lot of lineups into that? Even the 333 last week I didn't play, and I'm not playing it this week because 33% of the prize pool goes to first, and it's like 10K to first or something. And then by like, oh, eighth place is like double your money. It's like, really? Like, that's stupid. I'd rather just be 5K to first, and then you spread it out 5K, 4K, 3K, 2K, 1500 at that. Like, a nice thing like that, I'll play one lineup and keep the dude on A. Like, that's what I prefer. But, you know, people are stupid, and that's what they enter.
So, well, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, just to finish on that, that first week, okay, that it was 100K prize pool, and they had 20K to first. Okay, fine. We like that. That's what being
20% to first. That's fine.
That's what we've been asking for. But then second was 75 instead of 10K. Second was 75, and third was 35. Like, I don't know. Sorry. So, Adam, to answer your question, I'm going to put 20 in for sure. So I don't know what you were getting at, but.
I was just seeing like what you guys were at compared to like the Saramax, and just, I mean, some people who watch us, you know, they're just starting for the first time kind of thing, entering this main one once or twice. And it's just like not a good strategy to win money. I feel like you have to hit a certain amount of entries to actually have a consistent chance of winning it instead of, entering it once a week.
Probably right. Like I know what you're getting at. Like you want to have, to play this one, like Jordan said, it's going to kill your bankroll if you're not like winning first here and there. You want to have like a comfortable bankroll to be able to, I'd say, play five entries in this, like, or else, you know, stick to single entries or the lower stakes, you know, build a bankroll, I would say, because this is not like a tournament where you're going to build a bankroll or sustain a bankroll. You're playing this tournament to take a few shots at hitting 20K. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, if you're not prepared to lose a lot of the time, then don't play it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. There we go. So that's it. That's it. The show. That's it. Jordan, Ryan, thanks for joining us. RotoWire.com/soccer trial, as Jordan mentioned, free 10-day trial. And again, you can use this cheat sheet. It's all we use. You can get all this stuff here. You got the odds right here. And we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get another ticket. Maybe one of us will win 20K. I don't know.
We can do both.
Yeah. We can do both.
Ryan, you can have the ticket this week. I'll take the 20K. Is that okay?
Actually going to get ticket.
I'd sign up for that
and
right
the now. 20K.
I'll sign up for that.
Fine. I'm not going to win anything. Whatever, guys. All right.
No, you can get second.
Right. You can get seventh place steak knives. So that's perfectly fine.
DFS Chan says, I cannot fathom how many deodorants Ryan goes through with all these DFS soccer sweats. And
I appreciate that, man, but I haven't had one yet, but there's only been two Saturdays. But
that's how we'll end the show. Jordan is at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Belangi. I am at RotoZdroik. You can find us on the Discord. You can find us at RotoWire. We will be back next week. See everyone then. Thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, guys.